Well, good morning. It is good to see you today. Hey, the most important thing we're going to do today is dive into God's Word. So let me invite you to go ahead and take your Bibles out. Let me get you to turn to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, we're going to go through 1 Kings 19, verses 5 through 13 today. And we're going to continue in this series that we're calling Breathe. And today we're going to look at the voice of God and what the voice of God sounds like. And we're also going to look a little bit at what the voice of God feels like to hear the voice of God in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 13. Now, let me just go ahead and welcome you and tell you how glad I am that you're here on what we call traditionally Palm Sunday. And what does it mean when we call Palm Sunday, when we know that it's Palm Sunday today? It's that Easter's coming, right? I mean, this is Easter week. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and we want you to be involved in it because we are pumped about celebrating the resurrection next Sunday. Now, listen, if I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Corey, and I would love the opportunity to meet you. I'm going to be out in the foyer after the service is over today and would love to be able to shake your hand. But a couple of things that I want to let you know about that we have coming up this week. First thing is this: next Sunday, okay? Do not come to this location next Sunday if you're going to church for Easter Sunday. We're not going to be here because we are looking forward to celebrating Easter at the Bruce. We're going to have two services next Sunday morning at the convention center, and so we want you to come there. We want you to show up there. Don't worry, we're going to have a sign out front that reminds you if you drive here first, and but then just make your way to the Bruce. So we want you to be there. And remember, who is it that you're inviting? Who is it that you've been praying for? Who is it that is out there right now that's seeking and asking the Lord, where do I need to go to church to celebrate Easter, that he's called you just to say, hey, you want to come to church with us? Let me encourage you to be inviting. We've got our extravaganza today, okay? We are pumped and we are excited about that, so we want you to be a part of that. So, Cliff, 4 to 6, right? All right, 4 to 6. We want you to come and be a part of that today. Good Friday service is from 12:10 this Friday, 12:10 to 12:50. So that gives you time to take off for lunch, get here, participate in that service. We're going to have a Chick-fil-A lunch for you to grab on the way out, on your way home, or on your way back to work. So we're just going to take care of you for that lunch hour as well. So let me encourage you to be a part of that. And let me encourage you to do one more thing. There's an opportunity that we have over Easter week, personally, just to kind of follow the steps of Jesus as he goes throughout this week. Let me encourage you to take the Gospels out, read the Gospels each day this week, and then just ask yourself the question, what is it that Jesus is doing today as he's on the way to the cross? What is it that Jesus is doing today as he's on the way to die for our sins and be resurrected? And let's be anticipatory of what God is doing this week and what he's doing in our hearts and what we get to celebrate next Sunday. Won't that be an exciting day to be together? So I'm really excited about that, and I'm glad that you're here as well. Hey, we're going to continue in our teaching series that we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks called Breathe. There's a couple of ways that you can follow along this morning. One of those is you got that listening guide as you came in, if you're in the room this morning. If you're watching online, you can scan this QR code that's going to come up. That's going to bring that listening guide up. You can follow along there. And then let me encourage everyone with that QR code, whether it's on the listening guide or you're getting it off of the screen, to fill out that digital connect card that we have available for you this morning. That's going to let us connect with you. And if it's your first or time filling that out, we're going to give a gift in your name, a $10 donation to a ministry here in town. And you're going to be able to just further kingdom work just by filling out that connect card this morning, okay? Okay, so 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 13. Now, let me give you a little bit of background here. This is the prophet Elijah, okay? And the prophet Elijah has just come off of this amazing victory where it's Elijah and the Baal prophets, all right? And God defeats the Baal prophets, and Elijah is a big part of this. But there's this letdown afterwards. There's this almost depression that you see Elijah go into because King Ahaz has basically said, I'm going to kill Elijah. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to kill Elijah. And Elijah runs. And as he's running, this is what we see. He is tired. He finds a place where he lays down. He's kind of given up. And then in 1 Kings chapter 19 in verse 5, this is where we come into the story and begin to read about God's work in the life of Elijah. Verse 5, then he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then an angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. Have you ever had a low point in your life? Have you ever had a point where you're tired, you're worn out? Doesn't a cave sound like a pretty good place? Just to withdraw, just to be alone, just to recharge, just to recover. Have you been in one of those places in your life? Well, let's look at what God does here. Let's continue to read. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I love this passage. Don't you love this passage? There in Elijah's struggle, there in a place where Elijah just wants to isolate himself, just wants to be alone. You can even hear it in the language. He is struggling because he feels like the whole world literally is against him and wants him gone. And how does God show up? How does God speak to Elijah here? I love it. Because you see a number of different things. Long before he even speaks to Elijah, there's some other things that you see happening. You see that God knows his needs. I mean, let's go back and let's look at the very beginning of this. God knew his needs. He provided for him, and he spoke to him consistently. He spoke consistently with him. Go back to the very beginning, verse 5. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, but as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." What was it that God knew that Elijah needed the most? He needed just basic needs. He needed sleep, and he needed to be able to eat. You know that God made you, he created you, and he knows exactly what you need. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just eat a meal and take a nap. Amen. That's right. I mean, we are at our worst when we are fatigued, worn out, scared, and hungry, right? How does your brain work? How does your heart work? How does your body work when you're in one of those places? Do you know that God knows that even your basic needs need to be met? And you know he provides everything you need for that. Look at what he does. Get up and eat. And he doesn't just say, "Why don't you get out and go find something to eat," right? He says, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some baked bread on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he laid down again. Not only does God see where you are, not only does he know what your needs are, but you know that your heavenly Father provides those needs as well. It's just so many times we're so afraid and we're so stressed out and we're so worn out, we can't even see the things that God has placed right there next to us, can we? And he wants us just to stop, look around, and see what he's given us. And then what is it that he does? He speaks to Elijah. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him, and he said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. The food gave him enough strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai. You know, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. I don't know if you're in a place where you are feeling like Elijah, or if you are on top of the world right now, or maybe you're somewhere in between. Maybe you don't feel like you've got the strength for the journey ahead, but you know the strength that you do have is given to you by God. You're here now, and the strength that you have to be here now is given to you by God himself, and he'll give you the strength to keep going. There he came to a cave where he spent the night, but the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Now, what do you hear in that? What does that make you think about? Does God know the answer to the question? Absolutely. When we looked at not too long ago, when we hear questions in Scripture, what is it that God's trying to do? He's trying to teach us something. He wants us to kind of own the answer. He wants us to process it. He wants us to think about it. If God asked you this question this morning, what are you doing here? What do you hear in that? And even after Elijah sees the power of God and experiences the presence of God, what is the consistent message that he hears from God? Elijah, what are you doing here? And how is it that God speaks to Elijah? In a whisper. A whisper, in a breath. You remember when you were a kid and somebody said to you, "Come here, I want to tell you a secret. Come here, I want to tell you a secret." That was like very exciting, right? Oh, I'm going to hear something that nobody else, it's a secret. Do you remember somebody telling you a secret and getting in your ear and they're going to whisper to you? How did you react to that whisper when they put their hands around your ear and they said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you a secret now"? How many of you would do this? Oh my goodness. And it tickled and you couldn't listen. Why is it that you couldn't listen to that secret? Because they were breathing on you, right? You're like, "Oh, you're breathing on me." Isn't it funny how a whisper exists in a breath? And when we look at the breath of God, and when we look at how he breathes life into us, and when we look at how he speaks to us, isn't it interesting how God speaks sometimes in a whisper? Have you ever heard God's voice described as that still, small voice? And why did God speak to Elijah in a whisper? And why is it important for us to understand that sometimes God speaks to us in a whisper, in the midst of his power, in the midst of these great and wonderful things that he's doing? Why is it that we need to understand that God speaks in a whisper? And here's what I think it has to do with. I think it points to God's presence. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Why did God speak in a whisper? Let's read Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. And let's see what Paul says to the Philippians, where he says, "Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." Remember, the Lord is coming soon. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Why did God speak in a whisper? First thing that we're going to see here is this: because he's close. When we talk about the presence of God, we need to understand that God is close. Look at Philippians 5. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Now, let me ask you something. When you look at your Bible, at the end of that sentence, is there a little asterisk there at the end of that sentence? And look at the footnote down at the bottom. How can this also be translated? Remember, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. When the Lord is near, how near is he? He is so near that he doesn't have to yell. He is so near that he is close by and he can just whisper and you can hear him. So why does God whisper? It's because he's close. He's not like that person ahead of you in the drive-thru line yelling and screaming their order into a speaker. You know what I'm talking about, right? Have you ever been to Sonic, you know, or something, and you roll your window down, and maybe you are this person, and there's this person screaming into the speaker, "I'd like a cheeseburger!" And you think to yourself, there are wires that go from that microphone all the way inside the building where there's a speaker. You don't actually have to scream because of the distance. You know, it just seems inappropriate when we are yelling and somebody can actually hear us close by, right? I mean, and God knows this, because what does it do? It's disturbing. If somebody is close by to you and they're screaming or they're yelling or they're being loud, it's disconcerting. It gets us riled up. It's like something is wrong. And when God is present, I believe he breathes a whisper to let us know, I am close by. I am right here with you. Now, do you have the sense that that's where God is? We know that God is big, and we know that God is omnipresent, and we know that God is all-powerful. But that also means that he's right there next to you, close enough that all he has to do is whisper. The second thing I think that we see is this. That's verse 5. Look at verse 6. Don't worry about anything. What is it that God says when he's close by? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Not only is God close, but God is in control. God is actually in control of things that are going on in the world. God is in control of things that are going on in your life. And yes, he allows us to go through hard things. Yes, he allows us to experience things that we don't know why this is happening, and we don't know why this is going on, and we don't know why this has knocked us down. But God is close by, and he's whispering to you, and he's telling you, I am here, and I'm in control. Don't worry. Talk to me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. God whispers to us because he's close by. And in that whisper, what we get is the sense that God is in control. Have you lived long enough to realize that controlling your life is nothing more than an illusion? Well, there are things that we're responsible for. There are things that we need to do where we make wise decisions and not bad decisions. I mean, God has given us the ability to think. God has given us the ability to choose. But when it comes to the bigger picture of our life and who God has created us to be and what happens in the overarching picture of our life, don't you get the sense that you're not the one that can control every bit of that? Now, if it were just us and it were just about us, that may be the case. But we're connected to those around us. We're connected to God's greater purpose around us. And we can't always control all of that, can we? And sometimes that brings us great pain. But in every instance, whether it's something that brings us pain or whether it's something that we can praise about, we need to be talking to God about it. God, thank you for your good work in my life. Or, God, this is what I need because I don't understand. Where are you today? God is close by. God is in control. And then look at the third thing here, verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace. And what kind of peace is this? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, what do you hear when you hear that verse? These are the words that go through my mind and through my heart. The peace that what? Passeth understanding. Oh, where are my King James people? Yeah, you grew up hearing it that way too, didn't you? So did I. And man, there's just something about that sinking into my heart. The peace that passeth understanding. It's hard to say, isn't it? When God is close by and you hear the voice of God in a whisper and you understand that He is the one that is in control, the next thing we see is this, that He is a comforter. Why does God speak in a whisper? It's because He's close, because He is the one that's in control, and He is a comforter. Do you need comfort in your life? Do we need comfort in this world? I think we would answer that question, yes, Lord, please. But that's about who God is, right? And the character of God. But what about us? Let me ask you something. How do you think about God? What do you believe? Let's just start really basic, and let me ask you a question, okay? Do you believe that God loves you? Yeah. I mean, we know this, right? We've heard this. Hopefully you've heard this. I hope that you are living with the basic foundational understanding that God is love and God loves you. He created you. He knows you, and He loves you. And I think that's something that intellectually we know, that's something spiritually we know, but let me ask you another question. Do you think God likes you? We know God loves us, but do you think God likes you? Do you think God likes being around you? Do you think God likes being in your presence? Do you think God likes you as a person? You see, that's a different thing, right? Because, I mean, we think this way, don't we? Oh, I love people because of Jesus. I just don't like them. And maybe we think that because God is present, you know, we understand that He loves us as our Heavenly Father, but do you think He actually likes you? When God is present and God is close by and God is close enough to whisper in your ear, what is it that He's saying? Shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What is it, the voice that we think God is speaking to us in? Do you think He actually likes you? Because here's what I think. The way you answer that question determines the way you practice the presence of God in your life. If you think God loves you and He doesn't like you, you're not going to want to hear what He says. If you think God loves you and He doesn't like you, you are going to run from the voice of God, seeking comfort everywhere else, seeking knowledge everywhere else, seeking to be filled everywhere else, and resisting what God wants you to actually hear Him say if you think He doesn't like you. And you'll go to church and you'll do the right things and you'll read your Bible and you'll pray. But when it comes to actually stepping into God's will for your life, when it comes to actually being close to God outside of these walls, when it comes to following God's voice, you'll resist it. And look, I believe that's what sin ultimately is. It disorders our will toward God, and it makes us think that God doesn't want us around, and I'm going to resist His will because He doesn't like me. You see, how do you reconcile the fact that we are enemies of God and yet He loves us enough to send His Son to die on a cross for us? So when we understand that God is close by and we understand all of those characteristics about him, that he's close, that he's a comforter, that he is in control, how do we actually breathe that in? How do we actually let that become a part of who we are? How do we hear the whisper of God? Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Don't you love how Paul says this? All of this letter, he's speaking to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, oh yeah, by the way, one final thing. So if we're going to boil it all down, here's what Paul is going to tell us. One final thing, dear brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts. Let's just stop right there. Don't you wish you could do that? Fix your thoughts. How much time and energy in our life is spent trying to fix our thoughts, or somebody else trying to fix our thoughts? Well, let me tell you what you need to do, or let me tell you what you need to hear, or let me tell you what you need to think. Fix your thoughts. And what is Paul saying here? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. How is it that we are going to hear the whisper of God? How is it that we are going to breathe in the truth of God and the voice of God and let it be a part of our life? By fixing our thoughts on who? Jesus. If you want to know everything that is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, is there any better description of Jesus Christ? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So how do we do this? Let's just get practical, okay? So there are different spiritual disciplines that we like to practice in our lives as believers. And as a believer, I think there are some things that come natural to us, and there's some things that stretch us, right? So I would say this, the spiritual discipline of reading our Bibles, which we talk a lot about and we focus a lot about here at New Work Fellowship. Anybody know the term chair time? Yeah, I hope you do, because you hear it all the time here at New Work Fellowship. Chair time. Kevin talked about this a long time ago, and it's just kind of become part of our vernacular. And what is the experience? What are we talking about when we're talking about practicing chair time? You find your place. You pull up a chair. You sit down. You open your Bibles, and you spend 10 or 15 minutes reading through Scripture, and then doing what after you read through Scripture? Well, you're like, I don't want to say. Pray. This is easy, okay? So read your Bible and pray, okay? And these are two extremely important spiritual disciplines that we practice as believers. We need to know God through His Word. God's Word is the thing that is true. It's the thing that we orient our lives around. One of the biggest desires that I had for my kids, Charlie and Elizabeth, growing up, I want them to know God's Word. Because then they'll be able to hear His voice. So when we read Scripture, Bible intake, okay, and then we pray and we talk to God, these are two very important spiritual disciplines that we practice. But do you know what these things primarily revolve around? How we think. They're cerebral. Now, there's some other spiritual disciplines that seem foreign to us, right? And I think they focus on God's presence. And we struggle with God's presence because we don't even know how to be present in the moment where we are. I mean, let's think about it. Why are we living in a day in a time where we experience more anxiety and worry than almost any other time that we can remember in recent history? It's because we don't know how to be present. It's because we are focused on something that has happened to us in the past that is invading the present now, or we're afraid of something that's going to happen in the future that is invading the present now, and we can't be here and now and just stop and realize God is with us. So when it comes to practicing spiritual disciplines like this, see if these sound foreign to you. Silence. Solitude. Fasting. And meditation. Did you know that these are scriptural, biblical spiritual disciplines that God has given us to be able to practice His presence. And I think we need to learn this as believers. Yes, we need to know God. We need to know His Word. We need to grow in His Word. I mean, the deeper you go down the rabbit hole of Scripture, I think the better off you are. But if we do this, saying we just need to know these things intellectually and we don't need to experience them in our life, we're missing out on something, aren't we? So let's look at some of these ways that we can practice hearing the whisper of God. The first thing is this: intentional stillness. Intentional stillness. You know where I'm going. Psalm 46:10, right? I mean, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but we have this verse on a sign hanging in our house, right? And there's two words that are on that sign. What are the words? Be still. Psalm 46:10. Let's just go ahead and turn there and let's read it. Be still, and what does the next thing say? And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. How do we hear the whisper of God? The first thing I think we have to do is this. We have to be intentional about being still. Now, what does that look like and what does that mean? You know, I've read a good book lately. It's by my favorite author, Janie Pitts. And she has a whole chapter on just that, those words, be still. And when you think about Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, which one of those do you lean into? Because you see where it's talking about the two different things? One is cerebral, the other is practicing the presence. Be still and know that I'm God. Well, what does he put first? Be still. What's the word? Rapha. And it means to not just stop and do this. It's not talking about just freezing. It literally means this: relax and release your grip. It's the picture of us hanging on tightly like this, which how many of our lives they feel like this? I'm just trying to stay in control. I'm just trying to get through. I'm just trying to what? Hang on. And Psalm 46:10 says, be still. Relax. God is close. God is in control. God is a comforter. Be still, because I think until we do this, we're not really going to know God. Not in the way that He wants us to experientially. So what do you do to intentionally be still? To stop, to relax, to push out the worries of this world for just a little bit, and just relax in the presence of God. Do you have a place? I mean, chair time does that, right? Do you have a place where you do that? Do you have a time where you do that? Is this something that just happens naturally in your life? Do you just kind of wake up and somebody goes, oh, you know what? I'm going to provide some time and a place for you today for you just to be still and know God. Never. We need to be intentional about that. Second thing is this: quiet your surroundings and yourself. Solitude, okay, that's being still. And then silence. Quiet your surroundings and yourself. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 37. Who is our best example for this? Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." Does that sound familiar? Experientially? I mean, Jesus is in one of the busiest times of his ministry. He's healing people. He's teaching. Everybody wants to be around Jesus. And what does he do? Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and he went out to an isolated place to pray. Quiet your surroundings. Get in a place where there's not a lot going on. And that may not be on a mountaintop. That may be in your car in a parking space with a Coke or a Starbucks drink. And this doesn't have to be a whole day. This can just be a short amount of time. But still your surroundings and then still yourself. Why is it that we don't like to be still? Why is it that we don't like to be quiet and by ourselves? It's because of where our brain goes. It's where our mind goes. It's where our thoughts go. This is when we start to really kind of feel things and deal with things. And I think busyness, a lot of times, is a coping mechanism for us. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't like the thoughts that come into my head when I get quiet and when I get still. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to do this, is because we keep pushing things back that God is trying to tell us, I'm here. I'm in control. I got you. And so there's another step that we can take. Because when we look at listening to the whisper of God and hearing His voice, ask yourself this question: what's drowning out the still small voice of God in your life? What's drowning it out? Is it the busyness? Is it the hectic? Is it the worry? Is it the fear? Is it the, what is it? Maybe it's the other side of things. Maybe it's just pride. Maybe it's apathy. I got this. I'm okay. Things are going good. Where are you? What is it that you deal with when it comes to that? There's a third thing that I think we need to do. How do we hear the voice of God? How do we hear the whisper of God? Intentional stillness. Quiet your surroundings. Quiet yourself. And then the third thing is this: meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. How are you with this whole meditation thing? I mean, meditation is something that is huge now. It's taken off. I don't ever remember when I was growing up in the early to mid 80s, my parents saying to me, "Corey, why don't you just take a minute and go meditate?" What would you have thought growing up if your parents had said that to you? That's weird. That's crazy. What's the picture that comes to your mind when you think about meditation? Right. I mean, somebody sitting cross-legged going, "Om." Right? Do you know that meditation is something that is solidly biblical? But there's a huge difference between what we see in Scripture with meditation and how meditation is practiced in our world today. And here's the big difference. The meditation is practiced in our world today to empty our minds of everything. Meditation in Scripture is to fill our minds and our hearts and our bodies with the voice of God Himself. To hear what God is saying to us. Big difference. So how do you do that? How do you meditate? Psalm 19:14. Let's look at this. Maybe this is on a sign in your house. Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Is this one of those that you pray under your breath when you're struggling to kind of stop from saying something that you know you shouldn't say? Let the words of my mouth. You know, when we love that person but we don't like them. Well, what's the next thing that it says? May the words of my mouth and the what? The meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. How about that? What if what we thought, what if what we meditated on, what if the stories that we rehearse over and over in our mind and in our soul, what if we took those and made those pleasing to God? That's the big challenge, isn't it? And so what we've got to do, and this is what I'm going to challenge you to do, is take a meditation moment. Take a meditation moment in your day. So in other words, we're good at reading God's word. We're good at talking to God and praying for somebody else or telling God what we need in our life. But how good are we at chewing on God's word in a way throughout the day where it sinks deep into our heart, deep into our mind, and deep into our soul? Look, if you've got your listening guide, there's a thing at the bottom there called the meditation moment. And there's four things that I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to pray. I would encourage you to read Scripture. And then do this: breathe deep. Just take a breath. Do you know that God created you so that if you breathe deep, it does some things physiologically? It calms your mind. It actually keeps you from operating in a part of your brain where you're constantly looking for a threat in your life, to lighting up the frontal lobes of your brain so that you can process, make wise decisions, and listen carefully. Just take a deep breath. quiet yourself and then pick a sentence, pick a phrase, pick a verse that you've seen in God's word, and then just repeat that to yourself in your mind. That's what meditation looks like. Now, let's do it. I understand. We've been programmed with this idea of meditation where you think I'm about to ask you to cross your legs and hold your hands out and go, oh, I'm not going to do that, okay? But I'm going to do this. In a moment, I'm just going to pray. And then I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8 one more time. And then after I pray and I read that, as I read that, I just want you to keep your eyes closed. And I just want you to listen for what is the phrase, what is the sentence, what are the words that the Lord brings to the surface for you. And I want you to take a second and just take a breath. And then I want you to repeat those words to yourself in your mind. And then I'll stop in just a minute. I'll close us out with a prayer. Y'all ready? You want to do it? Okay, here we go. Let's do it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And we ask right now that through your word, you speak to us. Philippians chapter 4. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now just take a couple of breaths. What did the Lord bring to the surface out of that passage? Just chew on that for a minute. Repeat those words to yourself and listen to the whisper of God. I'm going to give you just a moment. God, we thank you that you know us so well, that you invite us just to be still and know you, that you give us the ability to know you intellectually, but to also experience your presence. God, we thank you that you not only love us, but you like us. We thank you for speaking to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let me ask you, by taking a moment and being still and listening and relaxing and letting go, did you have the sense that God was close by? Did you have the sense that God is in control? Did you have the sense that God is comforting you? You see, this is not something just for church on a Sunday morning. This is something that you can practice every day of your life, at every moment that you need to in your life. God invites us to breathe in his word, to focus on him, to know that he's with us, to know that he's present, so that we can be this kind of presence in a world that needs God. So let me ask you this. What did God impress upon your heart in that moment? What did he tell you? What did he pull you towards? Would you be willing to respond to that? Would you be willing to, even this morning as we sing and as the worship team leads us, be willing to come and to respond physically to what God has shown you spiritually by coming up and praying with others, by joining as brothers and sisters, by focusing on the right things. Would you be willing to let someone gather around you and pray for you where you are? Are you answering the call to step into faith and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is that what He impressed on your heart? We would love to be able to pray with you through that and walk with you through that decision. So as we stand, and let me go ahead and invite you to stand now, as we stand and the worship team leads us, let me also invite you to come to this altar, which is open this morning, and just respond to the Lord according to the way that He's calling you right now.